All right, this is David Tessar here in Amsterdam at TechEd, and you probably have seen me on the Ed Show, but today we are going to be interviewing Alan. Alan, could you tell folks a little bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Yeah, so I'm Alan Mius. I'm actually European.
Okay, you're home here then.
Yeah, more or less. I used to work in the Netherlands actually, but
okay.
I work now in the Windows Phone division. I've been there for a number of years anyway.
Okay.
And I work on what we call business experiences. So my focus is how do businesses use Windows Phone?
Okay. Yeah. We kind of had a little bit of an announcement there last week on the next version of Windows Phone. A good long keynote there. So today I wanted to grill you a little bit on what are some of the new things that enterprises can expect from Windows Phone 8.
Yeah, so on June 20th, we did a sneak peek, right? Not a big, well, it was a big event for us anyway, but a sneak peek at Windows Phone 8, next version of Windows Phone that will be available later. And we did announce most of what we call enterprise features in Windows Phone 8. So we talked about device encryption, we talked about device management, how we will support line of business applications and how people can deploy those. And we obviously talked also about some of the other kind of consumerist features like NFC and wallet and some of the application platform. And the biggest thing I think we did was say that Windows Phone 8 is actually Windows 8, that we're sharing the same core technologies with the Windows 8 platform.
Yeah, that was a pretty big announcement. I mean, they showed how the apps can go from Phone 8 to Client 8 or Client 8 to Phone 8, and that's easy to do. But what does that really mean to let's say an enterprise or to an IT pro?
So first of all, I think IT pros know Windows and Windows NT, if I can call it that way, in the traditional way, right?
Yeah.
So they have some kind of trust in that platform. They understand the platform. They know how it works. For us, that's an important thing. We share a lot of the core technologies with them, the kernel and some of the services like networking, security, and so forth, which makes, like you say, porting applications from Windows Phone to Windows 8 much easier, or the other way around. There's support for native code, as we say, or C, C++ development, which makes porting applications from previous applications or competing platforms to Windows Phone a much easier thing to do. And then having this infrastructure there, the Windows infrastructure, makes it integrates much better with what they already know, right? Their Windows infrastructure, the workloads they have on that, it works well together with that infrastructure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, of course, we will support up to 64 cores in case you have a 64-core phone, around.
It's going to get a little hot, I think.
You might not want to carry that one around, but it's possible anyway.
Yeah, 2 seconds battery life.
There you go.
In the first release of Windows Phone 8, we'll have 2 cores. That's what we are targeting as a new hardware platform.
Yep.
And it makes a lot of sense because it gives us the performance we need and support and some of the additional support we need for device encryption, for example, and those kind of things.
Yeah. So the device encryption is another really good feature.
Yeah.
Could you explain a little more about what are the details of device encryption? How does that work?
Yeah, I think you need to start a little earlier. Just like with Windows 8, we support secured boot. So it means that the OS actually comes up in a trusted state. It's all signed code, so to speak, that gets us into the operating system, a trusted state, and then the operating system itself supports full device encryption with TPM 2.0 implementation in a SOC or a system on a chip implementation, so that it's really secure, right? It comes up securely, it encrypts all the data that's stored on the internal memory of the device automatically for the user, and protects all the data and credentials and support on the device that way.
So I know we announced that we're going to support adding in the SIMs, or I'm sorry, the micro USB USB or the additional storage into the device, so that would include that as well, right?
SD cards. No, the SD cards are actually not encrypted.
Okay.
So SD cards, the scenario for SD cards is that users usually have a lot of pictures, music, movies. They wanna exchange that with each other. They wanna download it from a PC, and sometimes movies and so forth take up a lot of space. So Windows Phone 8 will support external storage or micro SD cards, right? So if you insert one, you can store pictures and movies and music on the SD card. You can't store any documents or anything like that, or install an application on the SD card. Okay. You can install an application from the SD card, and that actually is kind of a segue into how organizations can, for example, sideload applications onto devices with Windows Phone 8, because you can install it from an SD card. If you want, right?
Okay.
But the SD card itself is not encrypted. If an IT administrator wants to wipe the phone, we will wipe the SD card too if it's present in the phone, right?
Okay.
But it's more or less a scenario where we support the end user in being able to get their media on the phone easily or off the phone easily.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense. And as far as enabling that encryption through Exchange Active Sync, I know there's a policy that you can say enforce encryption. Will that work now then with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's an easy one for folks who know Exchange Active Sync's policies. That's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Anywhere that lights up, then you get that happening there. What about the management of the phone?
So you said Exchange Active Sync will continue to support Exchange Active Sync for what we call email and device management. So if you're a core scenario for people who bring a phone to work or is mostly doing email and having their contacts and so forth on the phone, EAS is a great kind of technology because it's across platforms, it's easy to use, it's well known in the market, and it's widely used, right? Because Exchange is widely used, and you can manage the phone like that. Focus is on password policies, right? How complex and history and so forth, and then remotely wiping the phone if that is needed. That will wipe the phone completely. And then the second part of it is Windows Phone 8. We're introducing native client device management client on the phone that device management servers can use, and for managing the device, they have a same set of policies as EAS plus a few other of them, right?
Yeah.
In terms of being able to block the SD card, for example, those kind of things. And then device management servers will also be able to distribute line of business applications to the phone without having to go through the marketplace. So they no longer have to upload applications to marketplace for their employees to use them. They can now distribute them directly to the phone using an MDM server or any other setup that is available.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, I know that one of the things they did show in the keynote as well is the company hub.
Yeah.
And so they said that we can now you can have your own company hub, and I know MSIT has a company hub. What is that like from setting it up, and how do you recommend folks use that?
Yeah, so enterprises very much want to be able to separate the business information from the personal information on a phone. More and more people bring their personal phone to work, and IT guys are concerned that if they put business information on it, that it gets out of control. So the Company Hub is a set of APIs, right? Because a Company Hub is an application that can be developed by anybody that registers at Microsoft as an enterprise development entity, right?
Okay.
They develop the application, they sign the application with a certificate, they sign a token that is put on the phone, and when the token is present, the application can run. Now, what is specific about a hub is that a hub can invoke other applications, like maybe a really bad example but most of the IT pros are playing games too, right?
Okay,
so let's be honest.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well,
it's a typical example, it's
the blur, right, of your personal life and your business life. Your phone's usually got both.
But if you know the games hub today, if you install a game on Windows Phone 7, it won't show up in your application list, it will show up on the games hub, right? So, for example, you can have the Contoso hub, right?
Yep.
And you have several applications of Contoso on your phone. They will all be showing up on the Contoso hub, and In addition, you can have links on there for a SharePoint server you want to access. You can have links on there for a support site and whatever you want to surface on this company hub. If you do this and you manage it with an MDM server, the great thing about it is that you can put them on the phone for the user and you can remove them from on the phone. And in between putting it on and removing it, you can also update these apps and the links on it and also. So you have full control over this environment for the user.
So when you say putting it on the phone, you mean putting the Company Hub app on the phone?
Correct. Deploying it on the phone, right?
Okay. So effectively then the Company Hub app, it's an app, right? And so that app then could be hosted publicly in the marketplace, or no, would it only be an app that you would need to push down or have installed somehow onto that device?
Yes, correct. So usually a company hub will be installed through a private distribution, through a site loading mechanism. And as I said, there are managed site loading mechanisms, like with an MDM server, and there are unmanaged site loading mechanisms. So you can do it with an SD card. Okay. You can do it. You can post all these apps on a SharePoint server, and people can download from the SharePoint server as long as you are a registered entity, have your own certificate, can create tokens, can sign your own apps, and get those both on the phones. You're good. You can develop and deploy these apps.
That makes sense. I'm not making any announcements or anything here, but I will point out the fact that Windows Intune in its current release will allow the sideload of apps to at least iOS and Android at this point in time. So, yeah. You can try and guess, and I know it's kind of nice to have, you know, options out there.
We will be supported by management servers to be announced.
Yes, to be announced. Yes, right. That's right.
Cool. To be announced. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are some things that you would kind of give as a call to action to IT pros that are thinking about using Windows Phone?
Well, I think first of all they should look at what we have announced, right? And if it's too interesting to them, there's a lot of discussion these days to look at: are we going to replace our BlackBerries? Because there's so much doubt about the future of RIM as such. So Windows Phone with device encryption, management capabilities, the ability to have private distribution of applications, delivers a good alternative in that discussion, I think. So consider Windows Phone 8 as an alternative for later this year. I think later this summer, even IT pros can download the SDK that will be available for Windows Phone 8. There is an emulator in there as a full-fledged version of the operating system that enables them to actually evaluate the code against their needs, right? And have a look at it. And then later this year, we'll actually have phones in market for them to have a look at and evaluate as such. So I think...
So looking at it as a platform, and I think from... You mentioned earlier on the... We talked about the shared core and the Windows 8 shared, you know, making it easy to go to phone to client. So if they're thinking about developing applications for their company, either for client or the phone, then this is a good reason to maybe jumpstart that. The other thing that you mentioned earlier is that NFC stuff. So is there something there they could also maybe be thinking about?
Well, yeah, if organizations or IT pros are involved in what we can call a business to consumer scenarios, NFC enables a lot of scenarios in that space, I would say, right? The biggest scenario around NFC for the employee, for the information worker, if we can call them that way, is a tap to share, right? You can tap a phone to a device that supports NFC too.
Be a device, or I saw in the keynote they had a magazine, they had a business card.
Right.
You know, seems like there's all kinds of scenarios.
Yeah,
that they
there
could
are
be
multiple
about.
Scenarios. You can do between phones, you can do it between a phone and a Windows 8 tablet or PC that supports NFC. You can even do it with an Android phone, for example, right?
Yeah.
So that supports NFC.
Yeah.
As long as the mobile operator hasn't blocked the NFC functionality.
Yeah.
But that is a tap to share. Yes. As you said, the scenario is also if you have an NFC chip somewhere in a magazine.
Yeah.
It could be something. We're also working on access technology with NFC, so you can tap your phone against the door and open the door with it. That's also a home scenario where you can actually open your garage door with the phone, sure, right?
You can start your car. I don't know.
You can do a lot of stuff with NFC. Now, NFC is just one part of the technology. On top of that, we support a wallet. A wallet, you can store credit cards and debit cards and those kind of things to make payments and to make secure payments.
Yep.
Specifically for Europe, it's going to be interesting because we have a pilot running with Orange in France, right? Mm-hmm. And they will enable payments, secure payments over NFC with a wallet for the French market as a pilot, as a first thing. Yeah. We'll probably have more to announce later, but that's an interesting scenario too.
Yeah, maybe this is starting to go a little bit off the tangent of the IT Pro, but it's an interesting topic. I mean, obviously a lot of really interesting scenarios. I mentioned car. I don't know if that really exists.
But
the point being is that there's, I'm sure, all kinds of things that could be done.
Just imagine you're walking through a shopping mall and there's an NFC chip on the store that gives you a promotion for that store, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Coming by, you'll get a promotion on your phone and you'll be able to get a discount, those kind of things. So there's lots of organizations that have a retail kind of approach or a banking and so forth. NFC becomes a really interesting scenario for
them. Right, and I liked from at least what I understand of the approach of what Google's doing versus what we're doing, where, you know, the security is on the SIM itself, where, you know, if you store secure information there, you can go from phone to phone and you're not locked down on one specific phone, you know, with that secure data.
But, yeah, true. We have an open architecture, so you can develop any app that uses NFC in the wallet and integrates into the wallet as a kind of a snap-in, if you want, right?
Yeah.
Plus, we are open also in where what secure element we use for NFC. It's usually the SIM on the phone, so we're not excluding any other scenarios. We're very open to any payment services and mobile operator services and so forth to integrate with this infrastructure.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, you've given us a lot of info here, a lot of things for IT pros to digest. I'm sure we'll anxiously awaiting the to be determined on management and the rest of the phone features that you haven't talked about yet.
We just did a sneak peek, right?
That's right.
We have a lot more to announce, and we'll talk more about it later this year. And we're just kind of showing a little bit. We're talking about most enterprise scenarios today, right?
So enterprise, start thinking about all these things we talked about. And until next time, we'll see you later. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.